You open your Bibles again with us to the third chapter of Hebrews. We begin this series of meetings with you with the proposition that we do not believe God because we believe the Bible. We're not Christians because we believe the Bible. We're not Christians because we believe God. We believe God because of His works. We believe the Bible because we believe God. We believe Christ because we believe He is God. And what He said is the Word of God. The great watershed. Humanity is divided inexorably. You cannot avoid it into two, not more nor less than two groups: God deniers and God confessors.
Amen. That's
right. You either one or the other. You either confess God for who He is, or you deny Him. When you do that out loud with your lips, or you simply do it by your manner of life, you either a God denier or a God confessor. You're going to do it all day today, one way or the other. Either those who worship and serve the Creator, in which case you bear the mark of the Lamb, or you worship and serve the creature, in which case you bear the mark of the beast. Mark of the beast, not something in the future, it's as old as the mark of Cain. That's what it don't care. Mark of the beast. Now, we saw that the works of God, you believe the works of God, God did them. You're going to wind up a creature, a creator worshiper. If you do not believe the works of God, you're going to wind up worshiping the creature. All people manifestly are going to have to take a turn in the road one way or the other in full view of the works of God, what God has said. That's what happened to these Hebrews that were brought up out of Egypt and saw the works of God and made their decision. Were they going to believe God or were they going to believe God? And the creature or the creator. Let's begin reading today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved for that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in to my rest. Take heed, brethren, dear friends, I want you to notice who he is. You wonder why you preaching something like that to us, Paul. He says, brethren, he begins this chapter with, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, if this is unsuitable for you, I'll publish right now and go preach to somebody else. But he says, this is addressed to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. You profess that, don't you? Most of you. And this is writing to you. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's talking to people who've been brought out of Egypt. Ostensibly, the Bible says they all went out under the cloud, baptized to Moses in the sea and in the fire, but God wasn't pleased with all the thoughts of Moses on. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, you say, I got saved. You did. How you know you did? Well, I made a profession of faith. Oh, no. What'd that do? That said something. Well, I had some kind of experience. Sure, that's fine. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. And if Paul come down to the end, he said, I fought a good fight. I'm still a believer. That's what he said. Yeah. He said, I kept the faith. And he didn't tell you about how many churches he'd built, how many countries he'd been in, how much evangelism, how many times he'd been beat up, whipped, drowned, stoned. He says, I still believe. I fought a good fight. I still believe. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That sounds like repetition, doesn't it? Sure does. He's going to say it, he's going to repeat it some more. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. In the 4th chapter, verse 7, again, he limited or specifies a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Is there one word that stands out in these passages I just read to you that catches your attention? What is it? Yes. Now, we talked about rest last night. Somebody said it out there. Today. Today. 5 times today it mentioned in those passages. Same once. 3 other times the word day is used, making 8 references to today in this hopeful, consecrated passage. My dear friend, I know of no other more earnest, imperative, concentrated appeal and urgency in the Bible than is what is set before us here today. Now let me say this. To some of you who have keen, logical, analytical minds, you're going to have a little trouble. Because it's going to seem to you like Brother Merle don't Armenia. Either that, or he is not being consistent with himself or with what he believes. Now let me assure you at the outset that I am making no attempt whatsoever to project any theological position or defend one. I wouldn't give 2 cents for one. Waste my time on it. And I'm making no attempt whatsoever to be consistent with myself. I'm trying to be biblical. I about decide that's the best thing to do.
Yes, sir.
I want to be consistent with the Word of God. Now, that makes me consistent with myself. Inconsistent with myself, let every man be a fool and a liar, and yet God be true. I mentioned something about this a while ago. I have come to the firm conclusion sometime lately that what we call the doctrines of grace, the absolute sovereignty of God, provides a rock-bottom foundation upon which we are to stand and preach the responsibility of man. I don't want to talk about this word today. Eight times it's been repeated to these people who, in the context of hearing the Word of God, seeing God's work. What do we mean by today? Well, first I want to eliminate what ought to be immediately obvious, but not quite so. Today obviously isn't yesterday, is it? No, it isn't yesterday. Nevertheless, yesterday does give us quite a bit of problem today, insomuch we find ourselves longing for the good old days. Our yesterday, like it was, I remember when. If I had to live back in those days, yesterday's not ours. That isn't ours, so you might as well forget about yesterday. As concerning this matter of today, yesterday, not ours. It was somebody else's today. Yesterday was somebody else's today. That's so. Yesterday was somebody else's today. Many of whom are now in heaven. That's so. Many people yesterday heard that today. And because they're there today, they're now in heaven. Many more of whom are now in hell who had a today, just like the folks who are now in heaven. Many more of whom yesterday was their today, whose today is now gone, even though some of them are yet living. Might take you a little while to get a hold of that. I'll come back to it again. Because he did say, while it is yet said today, I don't run off and leave you now. Yesterday and now. Yesterday was somebody else's today. It is foolish, therefore, for us to long for it. I used to love to read biographies. I read everything about historic revival that I could. I love to revel and wallow in. I like to read about those things and rejoice in them. Yep. I love to sing those sagas of the mighty works of God that He has done in the past. But dear friend, when it comes down to it, and not mine, that's given only to encourage and warn me that I might dare in my today. So it's foolish for us to look back on the times of revival, times of refreshing, times of miracles. I traveled with Leonard Ravenhill several years ago. For 5 weeks we lived together, day and night. Ravenhill lived and had a link with some mighty old men and saints of God in the British Isles. He's a link with the past. Many names he told me of men that had already gone on, of works and things that God had done. He had sat for hours after we'd come in from the meetings up at midnight at night and talked to me for 5 weeks. I wish I'd have kept it on the paper for him and had it. And I rejoiced in all that and was inspired and thrilled by it. But that's not mine. It's gone. That's for somebody else's today. Those times of yesterday seem more glorious to us looking back on them than it did to the folks who lived in them. Do you know that most of those great revivals lasted less than a year and a half? They're all over in that time. People who lived in them, it was only a small portion of their lives that they had at that time. Their today really was no better than yours. Now you young people say, well, now you know, when you come up, you didn't have to face the kind of things we get through today. No, he didn't. Not the same thing, but something just exactly like it. Our problem was not something on the outside that was happening in society. Our problem was the meanness on the inside. The same thing that we had. There wasn't all that much difference. The problem does not lie in externals, and it's foolish to speculate on what we had done. Had we lived in this, we'd done a lot better. Man, if I'd lived back in that time, I'd been a lot better fellow than I am now. If society had been different, if folks had more respect for the world, hadn't had so much wickedness around, I'd have been a whole lot better. Well, there was another bunch of folks who said something like that. We find them talking in Matthew chapter 23. Would you like to read with me from that passage in the 23rd chapter of Matthew? The words of our Lord, verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore be ye witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. The same blood poison they had coursing through their veins is in you. You be like them. You ain't no different. Not a bit of difference. The history of religion is a criminal history. There is no meanness, no wickedness, no anger, no wrath, so implacable and unmerciful and unreasonable as religious hatred of Almighty God and His prophets and the righteous. That's fact. So today's not yesterday. You forget about that. Also ought to be obvious that today isn't tomorrow. As another stumbling block. Tomorrow is not yet ours, nor may ever be ours. And it is vain to count on it, and yet that is exactly what ever awakened sinner who looks at the Word of God and believes it's God's Word. That's what he does. He says, well, you'll come tomorrow. How many of you figuring on going to hell? You ain't ever going to get saved. You just going to hell. You just come to church today, get somebody off your back. You don't believe a thing where are you hearing, but you're not going to hell. No. Nobody figured on going to hell. But you ain't gonna trust God today, you're gonna do it tomorrow. Tomorrow you're gonna live tomorrow! Your today is going to be tomorrow. You ain't never going to have one. It isn't yours. It's vain to count on it. It is vain to expect our hearts to be more inclined toward God tomorrow. Now listen to me a little bit. Don't get mad at me about this. It is utter foolishness for me to tell you, or anybody else, or do you listen to this lie? Well, you know you can't repent until God gives you repentance. What you need to do is to sit there and wait until the Holy Ghost quickens you and makes you see your sin. You can't do nothing to live. Now, Mr. Pink came preaching exactly that. Folks, y'all are all enough for arms about it, but let me tell you something, he's dead right. It's one thing for me to sit in my study and search out the Word of God and say repentance is a gift of God, that the Holy Ghost brings conviction. No man can come unto Christ except the Spirit of my Father has sent me draw him. That's one thing for me to sit there and say, here I believe all this. But it is utter foolishness and utterly contrary to the Word of God. Me to stand here and tell you as a sinner. Well, I don't know why you come here this morning. You awakened? No, I ain't awakened. You convicted? No, I ain't convicted. Well, you better go back home and sit there and then you get convicted. So God regenerates you. When God regenerates you, come up here and I'll preach the gospel to you and be saved.
Isn't that silly?
It is utterly contrary to the word of God. It ain't in there. What does he say? Today!
He didn't say today if you're convicted. He didn't say today if you've been regenerated. He didn't say today if the Holy Spirit has granted you repentance. He said today! You say, well, Brother Miller, that ain't very consistent. With what? It's in the Bible. It's in the word of God. It is utterly vain and foolish. You say, well, you know, some of these days I'm going to get under conviction. Some of these days I'm going to, God, my heart's going to be inclined to worry. It ain't now. I'm cold as a fish. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to sit here and go on to hell. That's right. That's what you're going to do. But the Bible says today, it is utterly foolish to put off and wait until a time when your heart will be more inclined to God and God's terms to be less exacting. Well, I'm going to get saved, but I'm not going to get saved here where that hard-nosed preacher is. I'm going to go down here where the terms are a little lighter. You know, I know a sweet fellow down the road here. He don't preach from a hell like you do, and he don't preach repentance like you do. He don't preach holy living. I'm going to get in under that flag.
Yeah.
I said, if God hasn't changed in you, you might find a sweeter sounding preacher somewhere. The Bible says they are false prophets in sheep's clothes.
Yeah.
And they're lies, and they're going to send you to hell. There's only one God. You say, that sounds awful narrow. God said it's narrow. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You'll find lots of them lowering the turn. But dear friends, when God says today he hasn't changed or cheapened the terms of salvation, they ain't going to get no cheaper than
that. That's right. That's right, Brother Martin. Dead right.
I'll listen a little bit to the Bork barking. You heard any of that lately?
Yeah.
The Bork confirmation here. And I heard somebody say yesterday, the truth is whatever the majority decides that it is.
Oh.
You ever hear anything so absurd and so silly? And the rationale for that is that people govern themselves. Now that might be true in politics, but it's a lie.
That sure is.
The truth is what God says it is, and it's utterly unchanging.
Right.
Utterly unchanging. It is silly to talk about constitutional law on one hand and then say we broaden the Constitution to include the needs of society. Yes, sir. The theological world picked that up. Yes, sir, this is our Constitution, but we broadened it to include the present temper of society. No, sir, dear friend, it don't change. It hasn't gotten one iota wider than there ain't ever going to be. No, just you ain't know that. Tomorrow is not going to be any difference. Sin is never going to be any less attractive and seductive.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, Brother Merrill, I'd stand to all right for you to preach that way. You've got one foot in the grave anyhow. You're too old to have any fun. And while we still young and full of venom and vitality and got all these appetites and tastes and desires, we're going to... Well, when I get old and cold like you are, I might can repent. Oh, let me tell you something, dear friend. An old reprobate or dirty old man has got just as strong a desire as a young person full of vim and vigor. It ain't going to change.
That's right.
So the brave heart does not model vain.
That's right.
It might think of something else.
Yep.
It might change, but it still won't hold perverted desires hankering for something connected to this old earth.
Yep.
That's not going to change. Repentance not going to be any less costly tomorrow. What you hanging on to, holding any little old hot fist and saying, no, I ain't going to get this out. That might drop away, but dear friend, just as when one thing drops away, you'll be laid hold on something else. It'll never be any less costly. No use thinking about tomorrow. That isn't going to change. So today is not yesterday, today is not tomorrow, and today is not just one 24-hour day. now there today. He mentioned it, spoke of it eight times in the passages. He spoke to these people about their today, and he speaks to us about our today. Their today was identical with the day of temptation and the day of provocation. You see that in verse 8. Hide him not. Verse 7 says, today, if you will, hear his voice. When they were supposed to hear his voice, hide him not your heart as of the provocation. The day of temptation in the wilderness. There today was the day of testing, of provocation, of temptation. It's identical with that. And that wasn't just 40 years, but it was 2 years. Just 2 years. 38 years. They wandered in the wilderness after their today had already passed. Their today was identical with the day of temptation and provocation. You say, Brother Merrill, I'm in a battle. When I get out of this battle, I might do something. No, when you get out of that battle, get the day. It's identical with that day. Not just 40 years of today. All of today is the day of trial. And when the trial and the provocation and the testing is gone, you can be sure the day's over. You're not resting by me. There ain't no rest. You mean you're going to rest in the midst of the provocation and the trial and the temptation and the fight? Yes, sir. Talking to the pastor. It's right in the middle of Armageddon. That's where it is. That's where you rest, when there's something to rest from. Faith, dear friend, faith comes forth and flies forth in the face of severe opposition. And if it doesn't, it isn't faith at all. There came a time. It was not their entire lifetime. There came a time when God said to those people, while they still live, while they're still alive, you shall not enter into my rest. He said, you ain't coming in. And he didn't say that lightly. He swore it.
Right.
He swore it in his life.
Yeah.
It's not good for you to make oaths when you're mad. You ain't thinking rational when you do that. But God's wrath is rational and based upon his righteousness. He said, I swore in my wrath, they not coming in. Well, you see that. Numbers chapter 14. 14th chapter of Numbers. Chapter 14, verse 28. Say unto them, the Lord speaking to Joshua and to Moses, say unto them, as truly as I live, he sware, saith the Lord, what you said, I heard what you said. That's going to be just the way it's going to be. What you said, I ain't going there. He said, you sure ain't. As you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which ye have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land. That's what God said. Some of them lived another 38 years. But they didn't enter in. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, you always err in their hearts, you have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in to my rest. Well, what is today? What does he mean by today then? What is this today business that's mentioned eight times in the text that we read here? There is no other. There is no escaping the plain theological, practical import of what he says to this. I used to preach something like this before I learned what we call the doctrines of grace. After that, I hooted anybody who talked about sending away a day of grace. To show you how ignorant a fellow can be. There is no escaping the plain meaning of these passages, that today is the period of your life in time in which God's grace is freely offered right to you.
That's right, brother.
And no escaping that.
That's right. That's right, brother Christian.
And I say there is in this Bible no more intense appeal, no more impassioned pleading for the inspired Word of God. We find right here. Today, he says, today, today. Why it is called today, today, today. The period. In time. In your lifespan, in which the God's grace is freely offered to you. It is the days of God's gracious and patient waiting and dealings and demonstrating His works to you. You're going to slide off one side or the other in view of God's works. The days in which you see God's works and still have some kind of inclination in your mind to believe that they're God's works. They're not chance or circumstance. They're not man's works. That God is doing things. God is acting. God has acted. God is moving in history. You're not an infidel yet. You're not a God denier yet. You ain't a God confessor yet, but you're not yet a God denier in the full sense of the word. You ready to believe somehow that it's God's works. Verse 9, you saw God's works. Today, it is the days when your loved ones, those who love you, if you don't love them, God's messengers earnestly warn and plead with you. The 13th verse. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Today. I wish I had a house full of Christian families, kids. I didn't say Christian kids. I mean kids from Christian families. I wish you had a house full of them. But I could tell right now that you're living in a time when your mama and your daddy and your pastors and your teachers around you, you're living in a time when they are pleading and exhorting with you. You're living in your today right now. You know, that's forever. Because sooner or later, these bright, smooth, shiny faces that grace these pews. We bring them up. Someone said the other night, this is the first baby born in this church. God grant that there will be many more of them to stay here.
Amen.
And we see them. They come out of the nursery. They grace these pews. We hear them squirming and squalling and bellyaching. We hear them take outside and they're paddling and they bring back in. They're sniffing.
Yep.
And they're wiping their noses on their sleeves.
Yep.
Mom and Daddy looking at them and so forth. And you see that. And after a while, they grow up a little bit. And a little while, they learn their scripture verses and they read the Bible and all of that. And after a while, they grow up and they make their decision one way or the other. They're going to be a God denier or a God confessor. Sometime, somewhere along the line. Today ends. We don't see him no more. I'm not saying just because we don't see him no more But there today is going, I don't know when there today ends, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. There sure enough is a today,
yes,
and an end to it. This Bible means anything what it said here. It means that. If it don't mean that, I ain't got no confidence in it anyway. If it means anything, it means that. You've done it today. While it's yet set today. While your loved ones plead with you and exhort one another. While it is yet called today. Today hadn't gone yet. That's that time. The days in which you have a mind and heart to hear the gospel. You ain't got a day full of it yet. A lot of folks already have. They come, they stay here a little while, they go. They look, and I've seen that happen for 33, 34 years.
Yes.
Folks come in,
right.
They all make a decision. They decide whether they're going to come back or not.
Right.
They decide whether they're going to believe what they hear or not. They decide whether it's the truth or not. They decide whether they're going to worship God or worship the Creator, creature, one way or the other. It's the days when your conscience is yet free. When you are disturbed by what you hear, when you bother, when you don't like it, when it irritates you, gets you upset, that's the end of the day. The end of the day when your conscience is yet fit. The days in which you hear, oh, hear this now, in which you hear God's voice as well as His word. You know, you pick up the Bible anytime it's reading.
Right.
You turn on radio and television, anytime you hear a preacher, you won't hear much gospel. You hear a preacher.
Yeah.
By the time you hear a lot of words and enunciated, but dear friends, that's a difference in hearing the voice of God and just reading the word.
That's right.
No. He's talking about what you hear in God's voice. What's the difference in the voice of God, dear friend? A voice of a person. There is a living God speaking in that voice. You see that in verse 7 of chapter 3, wherefore the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will, hear His voice. The Holy Ghost got a voice? Yes, the person of God. Verse 15, today, if you will, hear His voice. Chapter 4, verse 7, today, after so long a time, it says, today, if you'll hear His voice. Today, when there's a person, there's a real living God behind what you hear. It's not just tinkling cymbals and sounding brass. Today, what do you hear is His voice? The days in which the Holy Ghost speaks and strives. Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit shall not always strive. There you say, Brother Merrill, why does today end? Why does God say, why all this urgency that people should hear today? Why shouldn't today be forever? I'll tell you why it ends. Because you do always err. That's what He says in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. These people do always err in their hearts. Never go to give up. Brother Merrill, I got a sin problem. Quit it! Well, I don't know whether I can or not. Quit it! The Bible commands you to put away your sin. Unless the sin is in your heart, if it's in your heart, you ain't nothing but sin. And you're never going to quit it. You're going to hell with it. I don't want to go to hell. Get the sin out of your heart. You love God, you'll hate that sin and put it away to say the folks ain't no chance. The error's in the heart. It isn't in just something they're doing on the outside. They do always err in their heart. That's the reason you're today is not inferior to any others. It's a heart problem. What you do today, long as your heart is fixed that way, you're not ever going to do any difference. Stephen made his defense before the council in the 7th chapter of Acts and verse 51, and he said, as your fathers did, so do you. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's the reason God says, if folks do always that, I'm not going to fool them anymore. I'm going to let them go on to hell. The deceitfulness of sin, verse 13, of our text in Hebrews 3 when he says, exhort one another today while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is always a deceitful thing. Deceives you into thinking that it's pleasant. Deceives you into thinking that it's good. Deceives you into thinking it's wholesome. Deceives you into thinking that God won't punish you for it. Deceives you into failing to think about the consequences of the punishment for it. And that leads to unbelief and disobedience and continual hardness of the heart. Deceitfulness of sin. Well, these verses, this particular passage, makes two immutable, unchangeable promises. Two immutable promises are set forth in this appeal. It promises for those who do not hear today. It promises tomorrow. It promises the wrath of God. God promises that. That's what he said. He swore. He promises the wrath of God. Rejection. He promises he's going to reprobate you and send you to hell. Ah, well, you say that's a long ways off. Yes, it may not be so far off. But dear friend, before it comes, you might wish it's a little bit closer. Because there's nothing between now and then except struggle and striving and delusion and confusion and uncertainty and despair and heartache and sorrow and labor and hell from here to hell. That's all it's left. You want to find the miserable existence of old people who turned their back on Kadesh Barnea and wandered through the wilderness? They never had a peaceful, restful day in their life. But he makes another promise. For those who will hear him today, and you say, Brother Merrill, I'm not sure what my today is. How long is it? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, if I was you, I'd take it in its most narrow sense. If I had any inclination in my heart, if I was pricked in my conscience in any way whatsoever, if I still believe that what I saw around me was the works of God, and I'm outside the covenant, I'm not resting, I'd take that to mean this one day right here. I mean today, right now. I believe I'd take it for that. I don't think this means anything but that. Why did he say today? When you're going to hear it, not today. This is what he promises. If it's not now, it can't be yesterday, it can't be tomorrow, it couldn't be any other time. Today. What does he promise? He promises this. God's willing to save you today. Brother Merrill, you don't know whether the election or not. You don't have to know. The word of God, if God says today, if you will hear his voice, he will say right now. You can't say that. Don't have to. The Bible says it. I'm glad I don't have to say it. That relieves me of that responsibility. I am happy to declare unto you. He's willing to save you today. He's willing to bring you into rest right now. God's willing to, isn't he? Yes, sir. If it's a sincere, if it's a real offer, if it's a pleading, if it's an impassioned offer of God, he's willing to save you. When? Today. And now. It also means this. If you will. Oh, yes, he said that. Well, Brother Murray, you preach it free will. I preach what the Bible says right here. If you will hear his voice, he'll bring you into rest. If you will. He did say that. Today, if you will hear his voice, he'll bring you into rest. Now, I can say that. I'm glad I can say that. That's a great liberty in saying, I don't have to worry about and cross my theological T's, dot my I's, where God ever in the Bible says that. If you will hear his voice.
did take your resurrection. My Savior said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I ain't tired. Ain't talking to you. He talks to somebody's tired. Labor, heavy laden. I don't want to. He's not talking to you. He says, if you will, hear his voice. Hear his voice. When you do it today, when you do it tomorrow, help him. Do it today. Would you stand with us? Thank you, our God, our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our unchanging Sovereign. Amen.